All right, good evening, everybody. Hope all is well. I actually want to, I don't want to mention too many people by name. I didn't want to mention Rufus Shibia or Fuash Lema for our shul member, Amos Amir, who is in the hospital with corona. So everyone should have in mind that she should have a Rufuash Lema. So the name of this, the topic I gave to this year is when Avraham Avinu gave up. Tshuva, when you just can't anymore. This whole conversation, I'm speaking for myself. I'm just talking to myself because I think a lot of people feel like, especially in the last 6 months, many people feel like they're not going forwards, but they're going backwards. And like in respect to where maybe they wanted to have been spiritually on Rosh Hashanah, they're not where they want to be. So you see, I shared on my screen, there's this thing in science that behavioral scientists and economists have discussed, and they have big TED Talks about it called ego depletion. Ego depletion is not about the ego per se. Ego depletion, I'll just read from the Wikipedia, refers to the idea that self-control or willpower draws upon a limited pool of mental resources that can be used up. Ego in the psychoanalytic sense rather than the colloquial sense. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but the way they describe it, they point out that it's harder to stay on your diet at night than it is during the day. And I find this explicitly. Like, you know, like you spend all day making difficult decisions about what you want to eat and what you don't want to eat. And then by nighttime, you're just like, I can't anymore. Like, Hanukkah. You know, and so you give up, and then you have the Magnum bar, and then you feel disgusting, and you wonder, why did I eat that? I should have done that. I think that I feel, I'm not going to speak about anybody else because I don't see anybody anymore. Okay, I think that I suffer from this idea of ego depletion. Ego depletion in the larger sense. Every single decision you make in your life, think about it, every single decision we make in our lives now has life and death ramifications. My daughter wanted to go to Sniff this afternoon. Do we tell her that she can't go to Sniff? Do we, you know, in essence, I'll just tell you what we did. We kind of scared her not to go to Sniff. We said, well, you could go to Sniff, but is it worth not, you know, having to go into Bidud? This is what we now do to our 10-year-olds. And it's something that affects every one of us every single day. Should I go to Minyan? Do I go to Shul? And I look around the Shul, and if I'm trying to daven, how do you have a tefillah when you're looking around wondering, why does that guy have his mask on his nose? Like, can he put on his mask? And then the value judgments we make about all the other people around us, it's, you know, and not to say about all of those other people and about all of those other groups and of al achat kama v'kama our politicians. And the way this country's going, and then you think to yourself, okay, Rosh Hashanah is coming, I'll be a better person. Who has the energy for that? Who has the koach for that? And so my first message to all of you, I don't know if I want to give it to myself, but my first message to all of you is, we need to cut ourselves a little bit of slack this year. We need to understand Rosh Hashanah and Tshuva in that context. And one of the things when I used to give shiurim, and I spoke about it a lot, I spoke about the idea of hergel, of creating a sense of habit, a sense of practice, and how powerful the sense of practice really is. It becomes your anchor. And the reason why I think we need to create anchors in Jewish life, specifically in religious life and spiritual life, is because when corona comes around, we immediately snap back to the mean, to that anchor. And if that anchor is something that's good for us, if we have already had a practice of davening every day, of saying tefillah, of benching, or doing whatever it is that you do, I'm into like limud yomi. If you do daf yomi, then daf yomi is part of your day. And so even no matter what happened at the end of the day, you did the daf because that's who you are. So that's very important. And then you don't use up ego depletion based on those decisions. So if you're keeping the things that you kept from last year, if you're still where you were from before corona, if you were doing the daf before corona and you're still doing the daf, I mean, salute. I really, like, you are good. I really believe that. And I think Kadosh Baruch Hu understands that. I really do. I feel that way. And if you slipped a little bit, then the idea is to get back to your mean, to get back to your, to try to get back to who yourself. And I, that's the Rav Kookian sense of tshuva and the deepest sense of, you know, coming back to yourself, who you are, and trying to find who that real self is. So I think that's my, that's my first comment. My first comment would be, Naftali, there's someone waiting in the waiting room, so if you want to let him in. My first comment would be, understand the realities that we're dealing with. And every reality, you know, it taxes your ability to make choices. I believe, actually, it affects the relationships that we've been having also. That if you have to make good choices and you're having challenges every day, all of a sudden you come tonight and, you know, you yell at the people in your life who you really wish you hadn't. Something to be aware of. Anywho, so I wanted to share with you, based on that idea of ego depletion, I wanted to share with you a very a midrash that I find very, very comforting in a sense, or encouraging, reassuring in a sense. I'll share with you, just, we'll read the psukim. You don't have to, it's not really so important, but if you want to read the psukim, you're welcome to. I think I moved to it. Let me, just tell me if you can read the psukim with me, if you see the source sheet. Naftali, do you see the source sheet? You know, Breishit Perakapet? Yeah, you do. Okay. So this is obviously from the Akedah. Akedat Yitzchak plays a major, major role in Rosh Hashanah. I don't have to tell you, we all know. The mention of the Akedah, the shore of the ram's horn, etc., etc., etc. So there's obviously much to glean from this. So I'm going to read you the psukim, and then I want to share with you the Midrash Tanchuma. Says the Torah, Vayechar dvarim ha'ilu, v'alokim nisa et Abraham, God tested Abraham. Vayomer lav Abraham, vayomer ineni, here I am. Vayomer kachnat vincha et yechidcha asher ahavta et Yitzchak. V'lech lecha el eretz amoriyah, v'alehu sham le'ola al achad ha'arim asher omar elecha. Right, take your son, your only son, the one you loved, Yitzchak, lech lecha al eretz amoriyah, go to there, v'alehu sham le'ola al achad ha'arim asher omar elecha. V'yashkem Abraham baboker, Abraham got up in the morning, v'yachavosh etcha baro, he saddled his donkey. He took his two ne'arim, his two servants, and Yitzchak. He also, you know, kindled, split some wood. And he got up and he went to the place that Hashem said. Then the Torah tells us the next pasuk, on the third day, he lifted up his eyes and he saw it from far. Okay, so the Midrash says, the Midrash Tanchuma, Breishit Siman Chavbet. I translated some part of it, but I actually want to bring to you from before, because it really makes sense in the context to understand what took so long. Okay, so if you see with me now, I'm at where it says, Kadmo Satan Baderech. Can you guys see it? Did it switch? Because sometimes it doesn't switch so well. Great. Kadmo Satan Baderech. So there's really an interesting interplay with the role of the Satan in this. So the Satan represents, obviously you can understand it literally, but it also represents our Yetzirah. Like, what was Abraham's subconscious or his consciousness or whatever it was telling him as he's going there? So Kidmo Satan Baderech. So the Satan Kidmo got up and met him on the way. So Abraham's traveling. Just think to yourself, you have all of this time. Abraham Avinu he got up, he wants to do it, God told him to do it. But God didn't tell him, think about it honestly, it's interesting. Why didn't God wait till Abraham is in Yerushalayim and say, hey, see that mountain? Go kill Yitzchak. I don't know. He wanted him to think about it. He wanted him to ponder it. So he's on the way. And the Satan looked like Dimut Zaken, like an elder. Amar lo, la'anata olech, hey, where are you going? Amar lo, lihitpaler. He said, oh, I'm going to pray. So if we were in a shir today, I would ask you, Dvar is here. Dvar, can I? You want to answer? What is that answer? Amar lo, lihitpaler. What is that? You don't have to answer. That's fine. It's a lie. It's a lie. who's he lying to? Like, is he lying to the guy? Is he lying to himself? It's really interesting. It's a total lie. Amar lo, he said to him, Umisho lech litpalel, lama esh umachelet biyado ve'etzim al ktefo. Interesting, right? You go to Davin? Wow, I didn't know you need, like, you know, fire stuff and sacrifice stuff in order to Davin. Very interesting. Amar lo, he said to him, here's the problem with lying. Because once you lie, that gets you into the whole cycle of lies. Amar lo, shema nishe yomo yomayim, v'nishchat v'ne'efe v'nochal. Well, we're going to Davin, but it's going to be like, you know, Burning Man. So we've got stuff to do. It's going to take a long time. So therefore, again, another lie. So we've, you know, whatever. Amar le zaken, lo sham kshahiti kishne amar lecha kadosh baruch hu, kachat bincha. Okay, you're not. Who are you kidding? I mean, the elder, the old man that Abraham sees, Abraham knows he's like, I know you're the Satan. So the Satan is like, who are you lying to? I was right there. I know exactly what you're doing. I'm you. So why are you lying to yourself? Fascinating. You're going to kill your 100 years old. What are you doing? So like, I want the Midrash describes just this ongoing, fascinating conversation that Avraham Avinu has with himself. Okay, lo shamata hamashal masha yabi ado avdom vakesh ma'achavim. I'm not exactly sure what this means. Somebody will tell me afterwards. This mashal, the parable, what God has in his hands, he lost and he wants from others. I'm not sure. I don't know exactly what that's referring to. Okay. Amalei, v'im tomar yelecha ben acher, tishma min amastim v'tova neshamat chayev alei abedin. He said, look, you'll say, I have another son. Are you going to listen to the inciter and kill your child and be obligated for murder? Amar le lo mastina ya la kadosh baruch hu yitbarach haya lo ashma mimcha. You shut up. You get out of here. God told me to do it. I'm going to do it. Go away. Okay. Halach. So that's conversation number one. And we like it's fascinating. Abraham is lying to himself. He's creating stories in order to convince himself that he's doing the right thing. No, God told me to do it. Halach me'ala v'nidmeh l'bachor. So the guy went, the Satan left, and he comes back as a young man. Ve'amara yimino she Yitzchak. So he doesn't go to Avram, he goes to Yitzchak, because, you know, the young man goes to the young man. Amar le'la anata olech, hey, where are you going? Amar lo lilmod Torah. Dad is taking me to yeshiva. Amar le'la b'chayecha or b'mitatcha. Wait, you're going to study Torah when you're alive or you're dead? So it's, by the way, here it's unclear. Like, Yitzchak doesn't know yet. So now the Satan comes up and says, hey, Abraham, is that really ethical to go kill your child, to bring your child with you without telling him? So I'm like, aluv bar aluva. You poor, poor thing. How many fasts, how many tears did your mother cry over Tehillim until you were born? V'azaken, who hishtate? That old guy, the old man, he has lost it. He's going to kill you. So you better be careful because you're not going to yeshiva. So if the sign says yeshiva and he goes to some mountain, you should probably open up your mouth. Amar afal pikein lo avar adat yotziv al tzavei avi. Said Yitzchak, I'm not going to violate what God wants, what my father wants. So he turns to his father and says, Dad, don't listen to him. He's going to make us tired. Okay. Now we get to the part where I translate. I'm going to switch to the shift. There's somebody else on Naftali in the room. You can decide whether to let them in or not. We'll go back to the sheet. Here we are. Now we're with this translation. So what took so long? By the way, we know that it could take a while to walk from Be'er Sheva to Yerushalayim, but okay, why? The Midrash wants to what took so long. Now we're at the next part of the story. So the Satan has appeared to Avram as an old man. He has appeared to Yitzchak as a young man. When he saw Avram wasn't listening. Halach v'na'asah lifneihem nahar gadol. He made a huge nahar, a huge river. Meaning, he made an obstacles. Miyad yarad Avraham l'toch hamayim v'yigiyol berakav. So, no problem, let's go into the river. Up to his knees. Amar l'na'arav, he said to his servants, bo acharai. Come on, let's go. Yardu acharai. No problem. Kivan shigiyu ad chatzi anahar, higiyah hamayim ad savaro. When he got halfway across the river, the water is up to his neck. And this is like, I always get chills when I read this part. Be'ota sha'a tala Avraham enav l'shamayim. Avraham, he directed his eyes to the heavens. Amar lefanav, so he said before him, Ribono shel olam, God, creator, master of the world, creator, Bachartani, you chose me. Hodartani, Hader, you exalted me. Vinigleitali, you revealed yourself to me. Ve'amartali, and you said to me, Ani yachid ve'ata yachid. I am unique and you are unique. Al yadecha yodea shemi ba'olami. You will bring my name to your world. Ve'ale yitchak bincha lefanai le'ola. Oh, and by the way, I want you to kill your only son. Ve'lo yikavti. I didn't hold back. Ve'areni osek b'tzivu yecha. I'm doing what you commanded me. Ve'achsha ba'u mayim ad nafesh. This is the key word. Ba'u mayim ad nafesh. The water has come up to my soul, i.e., that's Midrash 4, I just can't anymore. I can't do it. The Satan has gotten to me. Im ani o Yitzchak bini toveh, if we drown, mi kayem ma'amarecha, who will fulfill your ma'amar, your commandment? Ami yitzyached shimecha, who will bring the yichud shem, who will unite your name? Like, Avraham Avinu says, God, I don't understand anymore. What do you want from me? You know, like, I did everything you want, but it just doesn't make sense. If I kill Yitzchak, who's going to continue my way? Who's my inheritor? Who's going to pass on your word? If I don't kill Yitzchak, then I haven't fulfilled your command, and everything I've said is a joke, everything I said is a sham. There's no way. There's no path forward. Higiyu mayim ad nafesh. I can't anymore. I don't know. I always, when I actually, the first time I ever gave this shiur, I'm almost sure it was the Rosh Hashanah after we had decided to make Aliyah. I don't know, the Berkmans are here. I don't know if Mark, I don't know if you were in YIOP when I gave that shiur. The Berkmans are here. Like they have also just made Aliyah, so I want to welcome them to Israel. Mark and Banana Berkman, they're following their children, which is the way to do it. And it was hard. I mean, really, really hard. Because I don't know about you, but they don't really have shul rabbis here, and I was choosing a new career, and it was not easy. It's personally not easy. The decision was the right decision. You know intellectually it's the right decision. But how's it gonna work? How's it gonna make sense? And I think this is the first year that I feel the same way. I mean, and you guys, you all know me. You know what I did until Corona. And what I did until Corona currently doesn't exist. And I'm trying to do something new. And it's not easy. And it's a big struggle. And even the people, those of you who are doing what you did before, nothing is the same. And you're trying to, you know, do your jobs with little kids running around. Or you know of people that are sick. Or your children are trying to go to school and everything is being canceled. It's just not, it's not going well. It's not going well for anybody. Anyone listening to this anywhere, it's not going well. And the Satan has been talking to all of us in one way or another. Now, he's not talking to us. We're religious people. Anyone on this shiur who either lives in Yad Binur or anywhere else, he's not trying to get you to go against the word of God. What he's trying to do is to tell you, you know, I'm not sure what he's trying to tell you. I know what he's trying to tell me. He's trying to tell each of us. To each of us, he appears in a different form. Some of us in the form of an old man. Some of us in the form of a young man. And some of us in the form of a river. And then you just say, I can't anymore. So what does Avraham do? The answer is, the Midrash says, is before the words we read before. Tala Avraham einav l'shamayim, amar lefanav. He turned his eyes to the heavens and he put it. He said, listen, I can't do it anymore. Who's going to do it? What do you want from me? Just tell me what you want. Amar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said to him God, Chayecha, I swear, Sha'al yadcha yitached shemi ba'olam. You will bring the unification of my name. Miyad ga'ar HaKadosh Baruch Hu et ha-ma'ayan. God rebuked the ma'ayan, this water source. V'yavesh ha-na'ar. And the river dried up. V'amdu ba'yabasha. And they were all standing on dry land. So, there's no answer to this question, but the question I always ask myself is, was there ever a river? Meaning, in Abraham's mind, of course there was a river. But was there really a river? Or was the river the imagination that the Satan created in Abraham? Or you could say, there was a river. Of course there was a river. But Abraham Avinu, he was the one that decided, I can't go anymore. I just can't go anymore. And when I think the answer, I really believe the answer is this idea of Tala Avraham Avinu Einav LaShamayim. It doesn't mean that you go on blind faith and you say, no, God wants me to go to Ummah no matter how many respirators they don't have. You have to use your seichel. There's definitely a balance. But in our day and age, maybe one of the messages we have to learn is that we don't control everything. And that's, people have said that about Corona, but we don't, even in our own lives, I feel, I'm talking to myself again, that I've always been a person who's, I'm supposed to rely on myself. And every time I let go a little bit, I have found myself in a better place than if I had said to myself, no, I'm responsible and I have to take care of everything myself. It doesn't mean I don't do what I'm supposed to do. But let go in the sense of placing your sense of trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has what's best for each of us. And for whatever reason, though, my mean is not that. My hergel, my accustomedness is to come back to myself and to not place myself in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so I think that tshuva can be to try to find that way to really place yourself in God's hands and to really tala Avraham einav lashamayim and to say to God, okay, and to look at, if you look at it objectively, like I'll talk about myself. I don't know what's going to be this year, but thank God we're doing great. We're doing okay. Even with Corona, we're fine. Baruch Hashem. I can't complain. I'm not a bidud. Poor Naftali stuck in bidud with his daughter and half this yeshuv is in bidud. My God. And they're making it, but you're making it work. And he organized like a whole Yom Iyun from his computer. Like, imagine how if we stop focusing on how hard it is and have just a little bit more sense of the brachot that we have and the place that we are and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do, are we really, Corona's real. I'm not going to imagine that it's not. But are we stuck in the middle of a river? Or are we seeing ourselves in the middle of that river, even though it's not necessarily the impediment that we think that it is? Sometimes we turn the realities in our lives into the Satan when he need not be. And we have the ability to turn our eyes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say to him, I trust in you. And then he gives us the strength to realize that yes, there are challenges and limitations, but we have the ability and the river dries up. And we can go do what we need to do even though we don't know what the future will bring. And maybe that idea of having that sense of release and letting go. I have to be honest, I wrote a post on Facebook, I don't get the whole Brezhnev thing. But there is what to learn from them. There's what to learn from everyone. Of having that sense of trust in God, and that he knows what's best for you, even more that you know what's best for yourself. All right, so we should all have that sense of, we meet the Satan everywhere, he appears in many different ways, but we should have that sense of, litlot einenu l'shamayim, and to say, even if ba'u mayim ad nafesh, if the water has come ad nafesh, Kadosh Baruch Hu has many, many ways to rebuke the water and bring us out onto dry land. I wish you all a k'tiva v'chatima tova.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Spolter. And for those that have joined us